Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
This week, we'll continue our study of Bible prophecy, and I want you to know that we can do that with confidence and complete assurance that these future events will happen, according to Revelation chapter 1.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
In Revelation chapter 1, we see why we're able to study Bible prophecy. Remember, Revelation chapter 1 is John on the Isle of Patmos out in the Aegean Sea, about 45 miles off the coast of modern-day Turkey. He's there. He is a prisoner because of his testimony, because of his teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is going to make an appearance to him and tell him what to do. I want you to notice how the appearance unfolds. Verse 18, Jesus comes to him. He's there on the aisle, and behind him he hears someone's talking, and he turns around to see the Son of Man, verse 12 tells us. And verse 18, here's what Jesus says. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. This is the testimony of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the cornerstone of our faith, dear friends, but it is also the foundation of Bible prophecy. If you are going to have any assurance that what the Bible tells us about the future is going to come to pass, it's based upon the person of Jesus Christ. It is based upon the fact that he is who he said he is and can do what he said he would do. Remember, I was talking to you about the book of Matthew, chapter 16. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. That was 6 months out before he would actually have to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. He continued to tell the disciples almost on a daily basis, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'll be crucified. I will be resurrected. They were scared to death. They didn't want to hear anything about that. You might remember the first time it was said to Peter, he said, not so, Lord. And what did the Lord say? Get behind me, Satan. But he had that as his, the Bible says in Philippians, focus. He was going to the cross to be crucified, buried, 3 days, three nights later, resurrected from the dead. Now, that's what he says. I am he that was alive, dead, and I stand before you alive. I am the one that is come to give salvation. I am the Son of God. My death, burial, and resurrection proves it. Now, what is the next word he said? Look at verse 19. Then he looks to John and he says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. If you were to use that as a little intro to an outline for the book of Revelation, you would say the things which were would be chapter 1. The things which are would be chapters 2 and 3. And the things which shall happen hereafter, chapters 4 all the way through chapter 22. That is what he's talking about, but he is giving us now those things that are going to happen hereafter. And we need, if we're going to understand what God's going to do in the future, to understand what things are going to happen hereafter. May I suggest today that we will look at the roadmap through eschatology. The roadmap that's going to unfold, the things that are going to happen in the future. In addition to all the prophetic events, the current events that are unfolding across our world, there's a group of people in churches all over the world that are not sure what's going to happen. What about Bible prophecy? Is it going to happen here? When's the rapture going to take place? When is the second coming? Is there a second coming? There was a recent Gallup poll that was taken, and you might have seen it. The results were this. Only 40% of Americans believe that Jesus Christ will come by 2050. 60% of Americans believe he'll never come back at all. Now that's going to have to take in some of the Christians. I travel from church to church to church. You know what I'm seeing out there? I don't know what's happening in your church. Some churches are changing their doctrinal statement for their church on eschatology. They don't want to take a stand. This is what's going to happen. This is what's next. This will follow after that. Some pastors never even preach on Bible prophecy. Many of the churches I'm going in today, people will come up to me and say, we haven't heard a message on that subject in over 10 years. Dr. Walford, before he died, he was the chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary, you might remember. That's the epitome of schooling for premillennial, pre-trib rapture eschatology, and I'll explain that a bit later. But he said, my heartache, Jimmy, as I go into graduates' churches, graduates of Dallas Seminary, and they're not teaching Bible prophecy. And so I want to lay out how we should approach our study of Bible prophecy. What are the key elements in studying Bible prophecy? I'm going to talk about the two entities that will help you know where God is in his time, the Jew and Jerusalem. If you don't want to know what God's doing, you look at the Jew and Jerusalem. And then I'm going to take the three most important books in Bible prophecy, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation, and I'm going to lay them out for you in a format where you could grab it up and study it. Those are the three main passages of Scripture. You may have already studied some of it, but I'm going to see if indeed I can assist you in learning how to go through Bible prophecy and learn it. Look at chapter 4 now of Revelation. Go to chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 would be the things in past. Chapters 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation would be the letters to the seven churches. You might remember that from your own reading or study. Chapter 4, look at verse 1. In fact, look at the first two words. After this. Anybody have any difficulty understanding what that means? After this. I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon to understand that. After this. After what? Whatever preceded it. What precedes it? I just told you, chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. What's that? The letters to the seven churches. Those were seven churches that were alive, and John wrote the book in 95 AD. They've been alive throughout church history. They're churches that are alive today. After this. That's what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. Now look what he says. I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither! I will show thee the things which must happen hereafter. By the way, I believe that this is speaking of the rapture of the church. When Jesus shouts, the archangel shouts, the trumpet of God sounds, we go to be with him in the air. This is apocalyptic literature. Apocalyptic literature, apocalyptic comes from the Greek word apocalypsis, which means to use a symbol to foretell, reveal, make known, prophesy the future. And then that symbol is a literal symbol, and it's a literal translation that can be found. For example, this is talking about a trumpet, as it were, talking with me. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. I have a nice trumpet. I have a Bach Stradivarius. It's a handmade trumpet. I want you to know something. That trumpet, though when I could play it and was in good shape with my lip, I could get a nice melody out of it, it never talked to me. Trumpet never talked to me. Apocalyptic literature. First Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18. Jesus shouts, archangel shouts, trumpet God sounds, we're out of here to be with him. That's the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 53. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we'll be caught up to be with him. It's talking about the rapture of the church. Now look what it says here. Come up hither. Is that the words that Jesus will say? I don't know if it is or not. It's a pretty good candidate for being the words. But he says, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. Hello? Now, how difficult is that? The things which will be hereafter. It simply says, and I will show you the things which must happen hereafter. Let me use this microphone stand. This is the rapture of the church, okay? Jesus shouts, archangel shouts, trumpet God sounds, we're caught up to be with him. There's a period of time after that, and then the pulpit represents the next event, which we'll get to in a moment, which is the second coming. Over here is the rapture. He's talking about the rapture, chapter 4, verse 1. Then he's going to reveal 16 chapters of detailed information about the things that are going to happen. After this, write down the things which will happen after this. Another simple statement we have to take. Let me just give you a little bit of information. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 in the book of Revelation use the word church 19 times. We'll get to chapter 19 in just a moment. In fact, go over to chapter 19. Verse 11 talks about Jesus Christ coming back. And after that verse, the word church is used 6 times. For 25 times the word church is used in the book of Revelation. 19 times before the rapture, 6 times after the return. In those 16 chapters, 0 amount of times is the word church used. It's evidence the church is not in the 7-year tribulation period. If you have chapter 19, go back just for a moment. I'm sorry, I should have had you look at chapter 3 and verse 10 just a moment. Look at that, if you will. Chapter 3 and verse 10 before we go back to chapter 19. Because this is the church at Philadelphia. Because I have kept thy word of my patience, I will also keep thee from. Keep thee from. Look at the grammar. Keep thee from. Keep thee from the hour of temptation, the hour of testing, the tribulation period, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I'm going to keep you from, not take you out of, keep ye from this hour of temptation, this hour of trouble. Go to chapter 19 now again, and in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now this is talking about Jesus Christ on a white horse getting ready to come back out of the heavenlies. How do I know it's Jesus Christ? Look at verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. That is a description of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. The resurrected, glorified, coming Jesus Christ in chapter 1. His eyes as a flame of fire, meaning he can see us at all times, no matter where we hide, what we may be doing. Boy, that's an awesome thought. Look at verse 14. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, who is that? Well, I can tell you who it is by what they're wearing. It's you and me who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior at the rapture of the church. Soon after that, and I'll show you in just a minute what's going to happen, we're going to be married to Jesus Christ. There's things leading up to it. We'll look at it in a moment. We're going to be married to Christ. Look over in chapter 19, verse 8. This is what we're going to be wearing. Look what it says. Verse 8. And to her was granted, that's his bride, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, or the right acts of saints. In other words, at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be determined whether our works were good or bad. Those bad works, we suffer loss. Those good works, we receive rewards for. And this indicates which were our righteous acts, not what I think is righteous, but what he thinks at the judgment seat of Christ. That is going to be what makes up our wedding garment when we're married to Jesus Christ.
This week, we've seen from the scriptures that the next event on God's calendar of activities is the rapture. And then immediately we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, there for Jesus to determine our righteous acts, which actually makes up our wedding garment. These wedding garments will be what each of us wear at the marriage ceremony when we're married to Jesus Christ. I believe that the rapture could happen at any moment. Therefore, we must make sure that we're ready to meet Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. Next week on the broadcast, we'll see how the judgment seat unfolds, how a Jewish wedding explains Bible prophecy, and how the Lord determines our job description for eternity future. I would like for you to spend more time studying Bible prophecy, and especially our study of this week, and in fact, the entire series, Keys for Unlocking God's Plan for the Future. Jesus Christ is coming according to the Bible, and the events of our world today demand that we have an understanding of Bible prophecy. Here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this series.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...